being citizens of the kingdom of God. I've gotten into this study afresh, and I just can't sleep for having it on my mind. You know that, and it's an amazing thing, when the Lord first began to speak to me about the kingdom, well, it's in Kingdom Principles in 1978, so it's been a while, but did you know that before that I had never heard any teaching on the kingdom of God? My denominational church or any place I had been, some of them were preaching on how to fill out your income tax returns and things like that. And we've got to understand that we are a generation for a different day, a new day, and we have been for quite a while now, but God has to give you revelation and understanding to grasp and relate to, and by faith begin to move. And I was pleased to hear a couple of testimonies this morning about how something had affected you last week. Let the messages affect you.
Yes.
Let them turn you around. Let them say, oh, I never knew this before. You remember that I shared with you that Heidi Baker said the Lord said to her, she was doing all of this big public ministry, and he said to her, stop. You don't even understand anything about the kingdom of God. Go sit with the poor and learn. You know, the kingdom of God is that power that's going to get underneath where people are walking and lift them up out of the nonsense and world bondage that they and bring us all into a day and an hour that we can say, this is what I was born for. This is what I've been. You know, life isn't always going to be as draggy around you as it has been. And God's going to lift us up into another place. Now get ready. And it's going to come by your faith, by your chowing down on the Word of God. Eat. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And they were unto me the joy and rejoicing my heart. The kingdom of God is the message that Jesus came to preach. That's what he said. Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. It was even the same message that John the Baptist preached. Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. First of all, it meant a full turn and change from the way you've been thinking, living, positioning yourself, hopes that you would have. Repent of all of those. And maybe be ready to repent of your old thoughts and move into kingdom thoughts, real thoughts, God thoughts. Miles Monroe said a pastor came to him, and he had, you know, he wrote a couple of books on the kingdom about 20 years ago. And this pastor said to him, so you're the pastor who teaches on the kingdom of God, like that, you know. And I said to him, and you don't? And he said, we had a talk that lasted part of the night. And the man asked Miles forgiveness for not being a believer in the Word of God. Is the kingdom of God too good to be true? Well, I'll tell you, some of life is too bad to be true.
That's right.
I'm ready for a change.
You and me both.
I'm ready for God to say something that's going to change things. And it's going to be said first, and then hearts are going to believe it, and then there's going to be an embracing and a revelation. It's going to be amazing. You see, God spoke like that when we first began this work. All of a sudden, people were coming out of the woodwork. They wanted to do something different. They wanted to challenge. They wanted to see if the Word of God was really true. And it was amazing because God spoke it. Lord, speak again to us.
Yes.
By the power of your Spirit. For so he said in Luke 4:42, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. Jesus said it over and over. I have come to preach the kingdom of God. I have come to rediscover it to you. I have come to uncover the reality of it. I've come to speak it so you can come into it. We never come into anything unless God first has it spoken. Someone tells us about salvation, we receive. They tell us about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we receive. It comes by the saying of the Word of God. Listen carefully. God's going to say some things. Sometimes he said, I've come to preach the kingdom of God and healing. I've come to preach the kingdom of God and healing. I just rediscovered this recently. I just didn't realize that Jesus had said one day, I've come to preach the kingdom of God and healing. That's a big subject.
Yes, it is.
And after the after Azusa Street and people began to get filled by the Spirit all over the world, then God started really talking about healing. People started getting healed. It's an everlasting kingdom, as we've been speaking. The babes, I think, talked about it first this morning. His kingdom forever and ever, I think, is what that little voice said.
Yeah.
The kingdom of God is an everlasting kingdom. Jesus came to preach the restoration of that kingdom, which we will enter into and go with him in the kingdom throughout eternity. Now, you're going to learn some things today. Maybe here's some things that you haven't heard before. This is not a message on eschatology. I really haven't been an eschatology preacher. One reason I haven't is because there's so many opinions, I just get sick of it.
Right.
But one thing I know for sure is that Jesus is going to return to this earth, and the Bible says he's going to come with a shout,
yes.
With a trumpet. One of them says all his angels. That's going to be a crowd. Literally, he's going to return. We had a person in our denominational church who said, and he was a very religious-sounding person, I just believe that the second return of Christ is when we receive him in our hearts. And I didn't say anything, but I thought, what? Craziness. The Bible tells you what the return of Christ is like. It's literal. He's coming to this earth the same way he left, the scripture says, is the way he's going to come. Boy, is that ever going to be exciting. Everlasting kingdom. The scripture says the kingdom of God is now being preached and every man presses to enter into it. Once you understand it, you'll press to enter into it. And you'll find out before this message is over why you want to be sure you get tightly fitted into the kingdom of God. If you really understood what the kingdom is, you would not allow anything to stop you from being a part. It's the most glorious thing you can speak, that I could speak to you about, that's going to happen on this earth. Now, glorious things happen. The ball drops down on Times Square. Millions of people go and see a ball that's lighted up fall to the ground. Take a chance on losing their lives to terrorists, all kinds of things. Got to see the ball drop. Were you there? I was there. Yay! Our excitement on earth about things is questionable. The kingdom of God is a righteous kingdom. Now, don't let people tell you that all kinds of people who confess to be some kind of Christian are all part of the kingdom, because they're not, because it's a righteous kingdom. Now, remember that. You won't be tormented in the kingdom by people who do all kinds of wicked things. You know, Josh Harris, author of I Kissed Dating Goodbye, recently announced that he had fallen from the faith. Well, what an announcement. There's another exciting thing. He apologized to groups of people that he had criticized in his teaching and said, God loves everybody and so, and don't be prejudiced against anybody. And Jesus does clearly state, who will not inherit the kingdom? How many of you know this? The Bible clearly states who will not inherit the kingdom of God. Let me read it to you, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, that's people who live together without, how shall I say that? People who have sexual experience illegitimately. I think that's the way you'd say that. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites. And by the way, I'm reading New King James. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, there's going to be a group of people that will inherit the kingdom of God.
Yes.
And such are some of us. Jesus spoke often about his kingdom and when he would come into his kingdom. He used the terms, when I come into my kingdom. He spoke about what the kingdom would be like and how his servants would function in the kingdom, ruling and reigning with him. You heard me right. Ruling and reigning with Jesus. And no one will ever wave a scepter of unlove or vengeance or carnal judgment. It will all be righteous judgment. And he also spoke to them about final judgments and who would be able to be part of the kingdom and who would be cast into everlasting fire. Could I have some help here, please? The Father said it would be his good pleasure to give the kingdom to his children. You know that you don't, the things that God wants to give you, you don't have to do a lot of begging about it. The scripture says that it's his good pleasure. And he's getting a group of people ready now. And if you don't mind, if you put this little stand over here for me, that would help a whole lot. He said he was going to come into his kingdom, and the kingdom would be like and how his servants would function in the kingdom, ruling and reigning with him. He also spoke about the final judgments, and there will be a sheep and goat judgment. And then there's this wonderful word that you almost never hear preached. It's called the millennium. Everybody say millennium. We're into that other thing, millennials. I tell you that Jesus' millennial reign is going to be a whole lot more exciting than anything any millennial ever did, or ever will do. The millennium, the Father said it would be his good pleasure to give the kingdom to his children, and he tells that he will rule and reign on this earth 1,000 years. Is any of this new to anybody? Have you always known this? We don't know. It's a trick question. All right. This is just a little framework just to acquaint you with what it is. And you should be able to relate to some that I'm sharing you and say, oh, yeah. I remember when I was in the 5th grade, somebody taught about that. He will rule and reign on this earth 1,000 years, and his servants will reign with him. How many of you feel you're smart enough to reign with Jesus in the earth? How many of you know that every time your prayer brings the judgment written in some situation, you have already reigned with him? Wherever the will and the word of God is embraced and obeyed and fully kept, a little bit of the kingdom has already edged into our living. Now, this is what we have to look forward to if we are citizens of his kingdom. Now, there have been all kinds of postulations about the kingdom of God, the millennial reign. I have several books on them, and some of them are really good. And in one of them, it tells how about 200 A.D., that they expected the coming of the kingdom and everything to be turned around. And you see, they missed it. And people have been missing it ever since. So this is not about, I'm not talking to you today about literal times, but I am talking to you about stepping into being a part of it even before it's here. The kingdom of God is now, but not yet. And Jesus said, if I cast out devils by the finger of God, the kingdom has come nigh unto you. Now listen carefully. Every time kingdom power is demonstrated, the kingdom has come near you. And I believe that there's going to be a people who begin to open up the way for the establishing his kingdom in a great and mighty way. They will cooperate with his way, and their lifestyle will be as citizens of the kingdom. There's so many wonderful benefits to being a part of the kingdom of God, is that if we give everything to our Father, then the Father takes care of his children. You seek ye first the kingdom, and everything else will be added to you. It doesn't mean not to seek other things, but it means to seek the kingdom of God first. Put it first and foremost. And you don't want to get an idea that you pray about something 5 minutes and say, I just didn't feel. That's what God has for me. Now, you got in some things you have to go by what the Word of God says, the way we will live. Some people feel like living wrong instead of right. That doesn't change the truth. And you know, the flesh still likes wrong things. I mean, it'll just come up with the weirdest things to hang on to. You check that word to see if it's what God promised you would be living in, or if it's what the devil. If you find yourself moping around all depressed, you didn't get that from God. And you have to take your stand as a kingdom citizen. We have given power over all the powers of the devil, and every time we show forth that victory, we give a fresh testimony to the kingdom of God beginning to move in among us. We didn't know all the reasons why the Lord wanted us to build a ministry like this and to have the property, have places to keep people, and the different things that we've done, had a training center and those things. We didn't know that in the beginning. But we later realized that it was to help establish the kingdom of God. Not just if we were in today, living our lives back then, we'd have to think of the most exciting way to do it. In fact, I think we might have thought of the hardest way to do it. Because it was a lot of hard work, but it didn't seem hard. Because our whole lives were filled up with helping to establish the kingdom of God. It's where people do things like the citizens of the kingdom of God. And people would say things like, there's such wonderful peace here. And they would exclaim over, we've been asked before, who's paid for this? I just say, we did. Who's we? I said, all of us, this congregation. God called us to do it. He called to pay for it. And he said, faith will do it. And so through the years, by a series of miracles, we were able to do all the things, and in the future will continue to do.
Yes.
All of the things that he asked, and he will continue to give financial miracles and physical miracles and every kind that we need. But we will live as citizens of the kingdom until he fully reestablishes his kingdom on the earth. Somewhere in between all the this and that and the judgments and all of those things, there will be a millennial kingdom where Jesus and his saints with him. How many of you are saints? You're born again. You're saints. It doesn't mean you're saintly. You're just saints.
We're working on it.
Yeah. And we're going to rule and reign with him. Well, since we just don't even know how to interpret that, we make jokes and say, give me Washington, D.C. I'll straighten it out. Which I'm not really sure if any single one of us could really straighten that out. As confident as we are, some people have heard what a lot of other people think. But when you hear from God, then you really have something to say, don't you? I'm just simply saying, whatever it means, we are going to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. And then the devil is going to be released out of his bondage for another judgment. Now, I'm not going to bore you with getting into all those different kinds of things. Besides, as many people as I've seen that are wrong, what would happen if I was wrong? I don't want to get in there and take a chance. But I do know that there's going to be a millennial reign. Now, I'll tell you, Augustine, but he's really old now. He's been dead a long, long time. But he believed that it was not a millennial kingdom. I think we'd suffer a lot that it was not a literal kingdom. I think we would really suffer if it's not literal. Now, some people, they read in the book of Isaiah and others, the lion's going to lie down by the lamb, and all that kind of thing, and they immediately pitch that into the millennial kingdom. But there's a lot of good stuff in there. We're going to, by reaching toward the kingdom, we're going to move into it right now today. Every time you see a great outbreak of true revival and healing and things like that, you've touched the kingdom. And sometimes we get the idea that we've already been there, we've done that. A woman came to our church one time and said, I don't really need to come to church. My father was a preacher. I've heard everything. Well, we have a real mix-up because the word is the word that we live by, not just things we write down in a book and see how much of it maybe we can remember. And then there's going to be a preceding word that you can keep on living by. You know that there's something that I'd like to get across to us today that I think the Lord has shown me this. There are different times. Now, some people, there are a group of people called dispensationalists. Sometimes they tend to be legalistic and consign everything to a certain period of time. So that's why they can't have miracles now, because it's not the dispensation for miracles. And I feel sorry for them because we're having them anyway.
Amen.
And so a lot of people get cheated because they've locked themselves into some doctrine. So I am not a dispensationalist kind of person, and I am open for the Holy Spirit to continue teaching me all the time. But I know something terrific happened right around the turn of the century with Azusa Street. Now, even though John Wesley and so many of these had tremendous, powerful Holy Ghost revivals and influx to the kingdom of God, something much broader and more powerful happened at Azusa Street and continued to happen. The people got caught up in it and they went all over the world. That was the Azusa Street revival. And then after that, you heard of people like Amy McPherson and Smith Wigglesworth and some of these great people. Now, I have studied these movements. I have studied these people. I have done it because I love to do it, and I have done it because I should do it. Because I don't want us to think that something we're experiencing now is all there is to experience, because I'm going to tell you, you still have more to experience.
Yes, we do.
That has already been experienced before, and we need to go back and pick up the reality of that power again.
Amen.
Amy McPherson, you know, she did such a work in her community. Not just healing, she fed the poor. And, you know, during the war and all of those things, she was so helpful. She had a very broad outreach ministry. And and different ones of them, they really had the picture to let the kingdom, the purpose and the love of the kingdom of God be seen. And I believe that you won't get anything that you don't first preach about. You're going to preach and give people the addresses of where all these promises are made, and people begin to believe that. If the word just sails over top of your head every now and then, you don't have a chance to believe it. And then there are people I've found in the day that we're living in, there's certain of the gifts they don't want. They don't want people to speak in tongues or interpret tongues, and there would be a few others if they were embarrassing to somebody. And so they want to do they're trying to do the rest of it, really, without receiving the gift of tongues and the things that make us powerful in the flowing of the Spirit. I hope some of them hear what I'm preaching today. I want them to know about this. There's so much to be learned, but they're not going to go any higher until they fill in those foundational realities first. And one of these days, all of us may be invited out one Sunday to explain what I just explained to you, and we just put a sign on the church door that day, gone fishing. oh, just love for the day to come where we just have to go out on Sunday mornings and preach in other churches and teach them about really all that God wants to do because he's bringing the kingdom near. Now, bringing the kingdom has come near you. I have people that I trust, and not spectacular people that just want to get somebody to listen to them, but people like David Schock and others have told me numerous stories about that would have been, say, late 30s or 40, somewhere in there. Smith Wigglesworth came to his house, prayed for his mother, and 5 tumors fell out on the floor. We don't see a lot of that in church services or in home prayer meetings. I'm just preaching this to stir you today and say, we can have these things. We shouldn't walk away from it. It's so easy. You know, Augustine just believed that the millennium was allegorical. I feel sorry for him. He didn't live at the right time to experience it. But to go through your whole life thinking something was just a picture of something you would never have. I don't get that. Who would want to picture something you'd never have? I'd like to trade it in to the highest bidder. I want to know what I'm going to have. And so many things that happen in Amy McPherson. David Schock also went to Amy McPherson's church. This is why the Lord hooked me in with all these neat people, so I could get the true word of what those things were like. But he said that Amy McPherson, he had seen 6 whole rows of people be healed, not missing one.
Wow.
We carry on over any, I mean, and we should.
Yeah.
Every time we have a testimony, we should say it. But I'm just saying, I think the kingdom was creeping in. In fact, now I'm going to take a deep breath here and just tell you a musing. That I have. It's not doctrine. It's not in anybody's book. But here's what I kind of am wondering. Those people who had such outrageous ministries, and you know the Los Angeles Times, just like the Kingsport Times this morning, had something. Somebody had a big ball on the front. That's all. I don't read it because I don't have time. But John reads it, and if he thinks there's anything I'd be interested in, he tells me, which he doesn't do very often. But it's because it's not exciting. It's not riveting. But the Los Angeles Times on the front page would tell you, first of all, what was happening at Angelus Temple, Amy McPherson's church. First, this is what happened. And, you know, in the revival in Ireland, Wales, when those great revivals were happening, they would tell how many people gave their hearts to Jesus Christ yesterday. And you know those places in Wales. You ever read one of those books? 5,000 gave their hearts to the Lord at Blenheimmouth. I when it comes to the names of the places, I just get real inventive about it. It'd be at Cardiganshire. You know, the words just go on and on. But that would be in their newspapers. Hey, honey, would you get the revival report today? I want to read it before I go to work. You see how dumbed down our lives get if we don't really hang in there with the Word of God, really believe it, really start seeing it begin to happen. Now listen carefully to this part right here. You got to take this home with you. Put it in your back pocket, will you? In 1948, everybody knows Israel became a nation. First the spiritual, then the natural. Just a little bit before that, the Lord called Billy Graham. He called William Branham. And he called these different people that he was going to give amazing Holy Ghost gifts. Now, I don't think he did that so that we would try to produce a near facsimile, push people over if they don't fall, and tell somebody to shake and quake a little and hope the person you're praying for will also do the same. The kingdom will never come except in power. Only by the power of God. And so The same year, 1948, that Israel became a nation, the Holy Spirit was outpoured in what they named the Latter Rain Revival in Canada. And it was outrageous.
Yes.
The manifestations were outrageous. We didn't even have to learn the keys to the songs. Fingers that we wouldn't see would come out and play the piano and lead people in a song to the Lord. Oh, you're kidding, Pastor. David Schock told me. And several of these men and women have told me these things. Now, I think I told you this story once before, but I think it makes a really good example. So that started in 1948. That opened up everything. It opened up the prophetic. It opened up the healing. It opened up deliverance. And it was amazing. I wish it would have been fun to have been alive back then. I would have been one of those crazy people that would have gone to wherever it was happening, no matter what it cost, because I love to see what God's doing. And I know that if I get in the midst of it, I'll be changed. Every time I get in the midst of what God is doing, where he's presencing himself among us, it changes me. So I was told this story, I forget by whom, one of the people that was in it, Kenneth Tracy. He was I think his name was Kenneth Tracy, and he was an Italian. And I remember because his wife invited, who was with me in, maybe Jane, invited us in and told us, sit, you know, like I say to my dog. And I thought, yeah, I will. And so he started telling me, Kenneth Tracy started telling me, at being at this meeting, where William Branham was. Now, David Schock said this to me. Now, think about this. David Schock said, you know, people toward the end started saying he was Jesus and everything, and he went astray in his doctrine. He allowed himself to be taken in this worship that people put upon him. But that doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with what he did before that time came. In fact, that's why God had to remove that strong power, because men corrupted it. God didn't do that. See, God can show us so little because he can't trust us. Next thing you know, we'll be acting like we had something to do with the great thing that happened. Or we'll get prideful. Or we'll get to, as Judson says, now remember this, Sue, anytime they introduce you, you're okay until you start believing the things they say about you. Well, I don't want to believe some of the things they've said later either. So the thing is, just don't believe it, and you'll be saved. So I bet you want to know what Kenneth Tracy told me.
Yes.
So he said, I was with so-and-so pastor, and he said, I want you to go with me out to such and such place because they say the kingdom has come there. I said, what a thought. If you thought the kingdom had come someplace, what might you think you'd see there? Well, come on. We're just home, folks. Well, healing, exactly. What else? What? Raised from the dead. Yeah. A conviction of salvation. Are people just going wild about Jesus? Wouldn't even be interesting. They wouldn't even have a bungee jump there, nothing. Just that. They were saying the kingdom of God has come. And they either meant a manifestation of it, or the beginning of it, or maybe this is it. Please, as you go home today and when you have lunch, don't get into my eschatology, okay? Because I just want to tell you about the kingdom. And by the way, I've read and studied a lot about this stuff. I just get so impatient about how nobody can agree. So I tell you absolutely the things that people do agree on that I think that we all know. And it's very exciting. And you want to know what Kenneth Tracy said, don't you? Mm-hmm. So, he said, we drove, When we got somewhere near the property, there were cars as far as you could see. They were in the fields, they were on the sides of the roads, they were in everybody's driveways. And then I saw Branham himself, and he spoke in a simple, quiet voice. And he often ministered with the word of knowledge, maybe always, as far as we know. And he would say, "Oh, the Lord showed me when you fell out of the car in that car wreck, and it really hurt your head, and you've had those awful headaches, but no more awful headaches." And it would be about, I've seen some videotapes of him. He's got a lady standing there, and it's just Branham and a lady and some usher, somebody. And the lady goes, and she starts jumping around. And he said, now, just settle down. It's just the angel. He's come to work with me. And he worked, there was an angel who worked with him. And he depended on this angel to show him people and to tell him things. I tell you, it'd be a lot truer ministry than what we could come up with. I can see it all now. Y'all just have a seat, wait a while. Could be an hour or so. We're waiting for the angel. Hey, it'd be a good wait, I promise you. I just try to imagine some of these things. They're so wonderful. So he said, Kenneth Tracy said, we stayed there maybe an hour or more. We saw so many people healed. We saw demons cast out. We saw so many people told what they had dreamed the night before. We saw all of these things told by this little humble appearing man. And he said, the more I saw, the more I was overwhelmed. And he said, when we left that place, I looked down and the front of my shirt was totally wet, as if you dashed water on me with my own tears. I was so overwhelmed seeing what might be a manifestation of the kingdom of God that I couldn't hold it. My head just became filled with tears. And I couldn't hold it back. Oh, he said, oh, to see those days again. Well, why do we pray, come kingdom of God? Be done, will of God, because I'm expecting infringements and encroachments of the city, of the kingdom of God, to begin to happen more and more. And there have been, you know of, many, many wonderful revivals. Even in the last 20 years and so, we've had some wonderful revival, Brownsville, Toronto. We were in that flow of that river for over a year. And every meeting, people were lying on the floor. I'll say this. If you think you've seen it all, just hang around.
Come on.
Because now, let me just be open with you here. I never had been a person who was super demonstrative when I speak like it. And I didn't come from a background where the people were real demonstrative. I was in the Methodist church for about a number of years, 6 or 7 years. And so I never expected me to have any movements or any feelings like I saw other people have that I didn't understand. If I didn't understand it, well, there'd be something strange about it, right? You'll see things you don't understand before you leave this earth. I hope there's a lot of things we don't understand. The scripture talks about the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But you know, the first thing that happened to me that never happened before was that I fell to the floor and couldn't get up in Toronto. And I don't know how long I was there. I cried until my ears were full of tears. I was lying on my back. And there's Caroline Arnott. She's the sweetest person. And she was sitting there like a midwife, you know, because she knew something was being birthed in me. I came back home from that trip. I didn't tell anybody I was going because I didn't want anybody to be predisposed. Oh, this would be the time. I better get ready to manifest something here. Or to expect something. If God wanted to do something. And so as soon as I reached out my hand to pray for someone, I'll tell you, it was Mary Alice. And as soon as I reached out my hand, not only did she fall, the people beside her started falling, none of which I had touched. And my hair blew straight up behind. I haven't been able to get it down since, really. And I didn't pray for people, but they kept falling without my permission all over the room. It was so I think it was 2:30, 3 o'clock. People were still here around the altar. You know, it was just so absolutely wonderful. And we call that the river movement, and we had a song about dancing in the river because of the joy that God had met us. And then God gave me a manifestation in my hands that I identified as to when he wanted me to pray for people when I would go minister to churches, and they would always feel the impact of the power of God and often would fall under the power of God. It wasn't anything that I did. And then I started occasionally, when I would walk across a platform, it was like I was plugged into an electric power or something underneath. And every step I took, it was like, where, where? And that was strange. But it was powerful. It wasn't anything to pretend. I didn't even know what to pretend. I hadn't even seen manifestations of this revival except in Toronto, and I didn't want the one I saw. There were strange things that happened there. That's just the truth. And this man, when he would sit down, I promise you, I saw it with my own eyes. Other people saw it because a man discussed it with me. And he sat down and he put his leg out like that, and then it would extend further, the leg. It's like it would just sort of grow on its way there. And I watched that a little while and thought, I don't know what I think of this. And then you know what he did? He came and sat down beside me, and I thought, oh, God, don't let me catch this, whatever it is. And he was merciful. But he did let me experience many others after that. So I know that God, he does bring manifestation, but it's when he wants to.
That's right.
And when he pulls the cover off of that and says, now that's all we're going to do that for now. If you try to press and make it go on, it'll become phony. Yeah. And it'll be like soured milk. It's just, and the pastor who leads that has to direct it another way. Now, none of that there costs you anything. It's normally what I teach pastors. All right. So, he tells us that we will rule and reign on this earth 1,000 years, and his servants will reign with him. That's called the millennial reign, and that's what we have to look forward to if we are citizens of his kingdom on this earth. Jesus is already ruling wherever men make him completely Lord and surrender all their lives to them. That's where I got off on that batch of stories just then. Revelation 5:10, and has made us unto our God, us, unto our God, kings and priests. Enough of this being doormats. God is going to make us kings and priests in the earth. And we're going to reign with him. But I promise you that people are just moping around right now, not even interested in the kingdom, are not going to be a part of those who rule. Because he says clearly so, you need to start getting into practice now. Bill Hymer wrote a book called Don't Waste Your Sorrows. Meaning you're going through bad things, let them build in you the character of citizens of the kingdom.
Amen.
Remember, he told us to seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness. We are not kingdom people unless we are seeking his righteousness. Because it is a righteous kingdom. I'm telling you, it seems to be under question right now whether you need to be righteous to be a Christian or not. Don't you think? They want everybody to be a Christian. They want everybody to go to heaven. Oh, if we had some of those people in heaven, they couldn't do the things they're doing that drive us crazy now. And if they can't do that, then that would make them unhappy. So there's not going to be any tears in heaven. So I just got a clue from that. Maybe they're not going to heaven. We sort of forgot there are two places through the years. There's also hell, and Jesus himself talks about it. Now, the things that I had begun to teach about the kingdom will open the door to give us entrance into the kingdom life that will establish us as a part of his kingdom on this earth when he receives his kingdom. Jesus talked often about when he received his kingdom. And the mother of James and John believed it so much that she just did what any good mother would do and said, I have a question. Let my son sit on your throne with you when you come into your kingdom. Isn't that just like a mother? He said, I'm not going to do it. That's so good to know that he is King of Kings, even in his kingdom. Now the scripture says, you are my masterpiece, and I have planned in advance the good works for you to do. Now God has already planned out the good works that he wants you and me to do. And I talked to you last week some about what it's like to be a part of the kingdom of God. I remember thinking, this is weird, maybe you didn't, but I remember thinking shortly before I got saved, I'm going to have a different personality. And it felt weird to me. I thought it wouldn't be me. But nobody ever stepped up and requested the old personality.
No.
And I remember Tommy Weatherford saying to me, because we were saved in the same lay witness mission, he said, I'm going to tell you something, kid. You shaped up since you gave your heart to the Lord. See, you know, my husband and I were over the youth. Never mind that we weren't saved. You just did what they voted for you to do, and then you got in and voted what the others should do. It's kind of weird. So we have made a mistake asking our church people to be volunteers. I want you to listen to me. You shouldn't think I might volunteer for this or that in the church. Volunteer. You're a citizen of the kingdom. In other words, we're all a part of this together. We're not a group of people who come and some volunteer to do things and some hide when the volunteering is offered. What we are is each of us, we are his masterpieces. And beforehand, he has laid out the works that we should do. I want to tell you just one of Mike's little gifts that's, it's not a landscaping gift. But he's helped some with John at times when we've needed some help. A number of you, especially and the men, have helped. But he has a wonderful thing about him when he goes where someone is sick and needs help or is invalid or needs someone hands-on to really help them with things. So as I have sort of observed and been there when he would come and help John, I would always feel lifted while he was there and when he left. He'd always say something totally ridiculous that I could never remember. You know, one of those things that he says so fast that nobody knows what he's talking about. But this, if you have a gift like this, it's so wonderful. Because everybody doesn't have a gift to do things that are not the most favorite things on earth for people to do. But it's wonderful. I want you to thank God from your heart. Whatever gift he's given you that you know, amen, and whatever gifts that are going to come your way. Because God wants to pour out the gifts on us. And he wants them to be used. So see yourself as a kingdom citizen, not a volunteer when you do something. You're just doing that part of the masterpiece that God gave you to do. Because Jesus said, as the Father sent me into the world, so send I you. Well, he didn't send Jesus out to do fun and games and open up social clubs and all that kind of thing, did he? He sent out every weeping person to dry their tears, every aching person to help their pains. He sent Jesus out to bring light into darkness, and that's what he sent you to do. I don't let a conversation get very far before I bring in Jesus and his wonderful love and purpose. When we understand the kingdom of God, each one of us takes his place to complete his mission. It's not a matter of trying to do good, but of establishing the kingdom of God. Jesus said, God has sent me to preach the message of the kingdom of God and healing. I hope that today you'll at least get a hunger to move into the kingdom power. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, he restored citizenship, rights, and said that they could represent him to the government on behalf of the government of heaven on earth. Now, Paul, do you remember that Paul said we are ambassadors?
Yes.
I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ. That's such an amazing thing. Paul preached to the people and said, as an ambassador, I am imploring them on behalf of Christ the King to be reconciled to God. You know, it's our job, it's our place, it's our privilege. Whoever we are with, we want to try to bring them into the kingdom of God. As ambassadors, we represent our Father's kingdom on earth. Isn't that great? To know that you are a representative. You know, Luke 22:29, Jesus said, I confer a new kingdom just as my Father conferred one on me. Hey, it's new kingdom time. It's fresh restoration. It's fresh speaking. It's fresh empowerment. I'm conferring on you a new kingdom, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Does anybody have a doubt that God wants to give us his kingdom? And he wants us to be ambassadors and citizens of his kingdom right here on his earth. Confer is a little bit different kind of word. Let's see, I'm going to call on resident genius Carol Noy. Give us your off the top of the head confer definition. She's looking to see if she can see any other geniuses. Say? Carol had to go home. Well, that's too bad. Then Julie needs to do it. No shingle. Well, who's the smartest person in the church next to Julie then? Who would humbly venture to put forth what you think confer means? How's that? Humbly. Appoint. Translates, I've appointed a kingdom. It was like I could say, Joan, I've appointed you to be in charge of Walking Star. I've conferred that upon you. So, okay, he's conferred the kingdom. He's appointed a kingdom. He's set us up with a kingdom that we're to be citizens of and that we're to demonstrate on this earth. But he says that there's this qualification I want to leave with you today. Luke 22:26. But you shall not be so. He that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sits at meat or he that serves? Is it not he that sits at meat? But I am among you as he that serves. Jesus said, see how I do it. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. Now I want to tell you how this reward came to them. They continued with him in his temptations. You better believe his temptations were something else. Yeah. They continued with him, except Judas, in his temptations. And this is a reward. I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father has appointed me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Wowee. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you that your faith fail not, and when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Now I want to share something with you that the Lord spoke to me once. This is how he interpreted some horrible thing that I was going through that I wondered if I was going to get through it. And as clear as a bell, he said, Satan has desired to have you, that he might sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you, that your faith fail not, and when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. I said, oh, that applies to other people too. So if you're going through a horrible time and a very difficult temptation, please know Jesus is praying for you. Please know the devil wants to sift you as wheat. He'd love to get rid of you. But you got the upper hand because Jesus has prayed for you. Yeah. He ever liveth to intercede for us. And I promise you, your friends may forget to pray for you, but he's not going to. I believe we're living in a time where people have largely lost track of why they are here and why they're even in churches. They may think that they're in churches to see if they can do this job or that ministry, or they may think that they're here to check that church out, see if they can make it better. You always say, I like to say, don't be too critical of a church. Because if you think that church over there is better and you go there, then they'll have you. And whoever you are, you take with you wherever you go. And the kingdom's not about any of the churchianity thing. It's not about you doing good, bad, ugly, being recognized, any of that. The kingdom is about establishing the kingdom of God and his righteousness in the earth. And living in such a way that what Jesus came to earth to do and then bequeathed to us, we're going to cheer up people where we see them. We're going to pray for them to be healed. We're going to make a way for them to come out of the kingdom of darkness into his marvelous light. But I think we've been living in a time where people have largely lost track of why they are here and what their hope is to fulfill their divine purpose on earth. You know, even as a child, I used to go, my mother was in a Pentecostal church, and there wasn't really a tremendous anointing there. It was, you know, really different from our church. But a lot of things that they taught were exactly what we teach. And I remember going to the altar when I was 7 years old. And I remember hearing my mother say to her friend there, yeah, she knows what it's about. And then I went and told my classmate who sat behind me, I got saved last night. And she said, from what? And I thought, I guess I don't know. I don't think some of us know what we were saved from either. And we need to leave it alone. Those things we need to be saved from, you get out of them. You walk away from them. You walk toward his plan, his purpose, and get ready to minister with him forevermore in the kingdom. I'm talking about an eternal kingdom. Who can imagine eternity? I just can't imagine it. It just blows our minds. You'll never get bored. You'll always be occupied. I can't imagine what we will be doing, but I am really excited about it. I had this thought that I'm finished. Let me just share this with you. I told you about that period of time it was really more than 50 years, maybe 60 years, that there were so many miracles and there meant so many. Now, you didn't hear about it and know about it because we didn't have the communication we have now. But then Oral Roberts went on TV, and that really changed a lot of things. And then he started making it public. And you see, the thing is that I just gave you a few examples of how things were and how meetings were and what kind of things happened. As time went on, they had the big tent meetings, healing meetings and all like that. They called it what happened to the people as they got caught up in corruption. They couldn't handle having so much money. They couldn't handle the adulation. You know, you and I can handle the worshipful things some might say about us every now and then, because we have plenty of other people saying the opposite. But when you have people only telling you that you're wonderful night and day, and just begging and pleading, if they could get to you, if they could only see you for one moment, if you don't stay close to God, it will affect your head.
Yes.
It will affect your spirit. And I believe that's what God is postponing just a little bit till he gets a little bit more to the place. He wants to be able to entrust the people to take it on out. Who knows how long, maybe forever, that people can be healed and so many wonderful things can happen. And here's the question that I have had. You know, you didn't have Wigglesworth. With Wigglesworth and all of these older ones, for the most part, you did not have the corruption seeping in. But then when there were so many healing ministries and so much of that going on, then more and more people fell to the deception. You know, I started teaching this when I was still in the Methodist Church. Oh, people loved it. They just come to a home meeting to hear me tell stories about how it used to be when people had some power. And so, and the idea, of course, was to whet their appetite. And so this one lady who came to the home meeting said, "So it was real and true all the time, those healing tents? I mean, it was real, it just got corrupted." And I said, "Oh, yeah, absolutely." I told her the names of some that she saw, knew about that were still in business. And she said, "Well, my uncle was one of those healing evangelists. And this is what caused me to not believe in it. I thought it was phony. They would bring in so much money, and there was a huge desk there. And his brother worked with him. And there was a huge desk there, and one of them would take their big long arms and just divide that big pile of money in half. Here's your half, here's my half." And it just became to be all about money. Probably started out fine. But when a thing is corrupted, it's the fly, starts as the fly in the ointment. And before you know it, the whole thing is a cancer. So I'm sorry for how those things happened. And who knows, if we were back there in that situation, it could have happened to us. But God, let it be that we live in a generation where we've had opportunity to learn more, desire more, understand more, be dealt with more. And you can entrust us, Lord, with a bigger piece of a manifestation of the kingdom of God. As we live as kingdom citizens, as we surrender and yield up our all in all. Now he says, "You were with me, you were with me in my temptations, and Satan tried to sift you as wheat." Now what does the scripture say? That through much suffering, we will enter the kingdom. Don't be surprised that people that don't ever have any suffering don't have very exciting church. But when you remember the old line Pentecostals, they would shoot them. They would stuff rags down into the stovepipe so the smoke would come out. They persecuted them in an unbelievable way. Why? Because the devil hated them. And you and I have been persecuted, perhaps maybe even to this hour, in some ways that have been so hard for our psyche. But all of these things are the sufferings that can open the door to the kingdom of God. Do you see? That you can't always have everything the way you want it and be citizens of the kingdom. And there will be some suffering, like Peter suffered. And like Peter later said in one of his epistles, that through much suffering, We will come into the kingdom of God, at least the suffering of the unbelief of the people around us. And as one man said to me, it's better to have a church where you don't speak in tongues because you get more people that way. And you get more people that don't speak in tongues, too. Think about that. So how are you going to preach a gospel? Don't speak in tongues much. And so, quietly speak in tongues under your breath. Yeah. Someone told me recently, authentically, I do believe that the new Prime Minister of Australia is baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaks in tongues, and goes to the big Pentecostal church. Whoa. These things help. The president of Zambia once got saved and declared Zambia a Christian nation. You got power when you get into that. So, wherever the light of God edges out the darkness, a manifestation of the kingdom has come. And we are the ones that want to see that happen, aren't we?
Yes.
Isn't he a great and wonderful God? Let's stand together.